This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels. Of Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, coming to you live from beautiful high desert Washington. Who knew it would be 100 degrees in the state of Washington? I am a co-founder of Full Time Families and a Road School Mom of four. And on the line with me tonight is...
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher. Also a homeschooling mom of four, coming to you live tonight from just south of Louisville, Kentucky, where it is definitely not 100 degrees, and I am happy for that. It's just a nice, cool Midwestern evening. We're happy to be with you tonight, wherever in the world you are.
Absolutely. Now, boy, I had an exciting night last night.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, okay, so Mary Beth, I've been traveling for a little over 4 years. And I've never had to evacuate my camper from the site ever. We've been through some weather. We've been through some storms. But thankfully, God's always been looking over us, watching out for us. And we've never had to evacuate. And last night, while we were having dinner in my camper, I was watching the humongous pine trees of northern Spokane bending and arching and pulsating ever closer to my camper. And at that moment, when the trees were at a 45-degree angle, pinned almost towards my camper, I recalled that when we pulled into the site a couple hours earlier, there were trees marked for removal. And I started wondering if those trees had been marked for removal because maybe they were dead or they were going to fall down at any moment. So, dinner, and I heard some branches dancing on top of my rooftop, but really nothing to speak of. And then we went out and took a ride through the campground, and we saw utter and total devastation. It was so sobering. So Chris said, you know, if another wind kicks up, if there's another storm coming, we might not fare so well, so let's hug this camper up to the truck and get us ourselves down out of this wooded area of the campground and to the open field. They had a huge open baseball field or whatever, and away from all the trees. And so we did. We packed up in 5 minutes flat, hooked up, pulled ourselves down out of that mountain forest area that we were in, and slept on a 15-degree angle all night long with no electricity. The campground had no electricity. There were chainsaws running all night long because a lot of the roadways were blocked from trees. It was just a disaster. And we woke up this morning and said, well, I guess this isn't the campground for us, and pulled out, and we never, ever got to see Spokane.
Oh, I hate that. That's such a beautiful area, but it sounds like it wasn't your time to see Spokane, Washington, I guess. Thankful that you guys are all right, that's for sure.
Yes, thank God. There was no fatalities or even any injuries in the campground. So that was wonderful. There was a lot of scared children. It was very unfortunate. It was a very busy camping weekend, and a lot of people had collected themselves under this public gazebo and watched as the trees just came down around them. In fact, a tree came down really close to this one woman's brand new Escalade, and so she said, oh, well, I think I should move it. So she moved it probably 50 feet away, and no sooner did she get out and get back under the gazebo that a tree falls right on top of it.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Well, I guess it's a good thing we had our talk about safety on the road last week on Road School Moms, and you had the don't be scared, be prepared attitude, and it scoped your surroundings out before you got out of your rig and knew exactly what to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was some question. Do we stay or do we go? And it's always just better to err on the side of ultimate preparedness and just hook up and go. If you
know what, and don't you think too? Because I know I feel this way. I always think that I won't know what to do in a case of emergency like that. But you just always have to go with your gut reaction. If your gut tells you, like yours did, you need to get out of there, then don't hesitate. Just go with your gut feeling.
Right, exactly. And especially if it's your driver's gut feeling, because if your driver wants you to go and you dig in your heels and say, no, I won't go, you'll be removing the tree by yourself. So I didn't want to remove any trees from the top of my camper by myself, and I definitely didn't want up there stitching my camper back together. So I just said, well, you're the driver. If you want to do this, let's do it. But it was pitch black because obviously the campground had no electricity, and the streets were the roads in the campground, which were already on the, how would you say it, undeveloped side, were really in bad shape because there were trees down everywhere. So it was an exciting five-minute ride to the bottom of the campground. And then,
so tell me in the just for our listeners out there that might be on the newer side of our lifestyle. So as you realize what you have to do, what did you do with your kids during that crazy 5 minutes? Did you have them do job? Did you have them have specific tasks? Did you put them in the truck? What did you do with your kids when this was all going on?
The first thing we did was we prayed. We all stood around in a circle and we held hands in the middle of my living room and we prayed, "Dear God, thank you so much for sparing our camper. Thank you so much for giving us the strength and the ability to get out of this situation. Please make the lives of those who have damaged property easier tonight. And please get us down safely to the area where we know our camper and ourselves will be safe." And that took all the edge off, right? We put that firmly in God's lap, and then we went to work very calmly, putting the stuff away that needs to be put away and pulling in the slides. So we start all our major events with a prayer. Every time we move the rig, we pray. Every time we eat, we pray. We just try to always keep God front and center in our lives because we know really he's in charge of our journey. And if he wants to smash up our camper with a couple of chips, it's...
Well, you know, I absolutely love that. I love to hear that because that's something that we do as well. And I just think that, like you said, it really takes the edge off and it kind of pulls everybody down to ground zero so that you remember, you know, that where you are and how you are and where you're going is all in the hands of the one above. And really it's just your job to follow. And that makes it so much easier.
It did. It really, I felt it. It really, really just calmed the seas because, you know, the kids love any idea to get excited about, and they had not seen the carnage in the campground. So they didn't really know how bad it was yet. But they're easily excitable, and especially this was all happening at like 10 o'clock at night. So this is an adventure for them. But it was important to keep it under control because when you pack up at night, make sure you take everything with you. You know, it's dark.
Right. That's a very good point. And I'll just have to say kudos to you and Chris both. You know, I always say this. You've heard me say it a million times. It's easy to be a calm person or a good person or a together person or whatever in a good situation, but it really shows your true colors in the bad situation. And, you know, when you have a situation like that and you can be calm, cool, and collected, and your kids can see you being calm, cool, and collected, I mean, that's what they're going to remember. In an event where, you know, heaven forbid that they're in a situation and you're not there, but in a situation where there's kind of a panic involved, you know, their first thing that is going to be in their mind that you've instilled in them is to stop, pray, and follow. And that, you know, what a great thing to instill in your kids. So it's great to hear.
Thank you for that. I hadn't even thought that through, but yeah, I hope that motivates other people to be able to be calm in similar situations. But we were really in no harm once the storm was over and once we had moved our camper, everything was going to be.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, I know we all know it, and no matter what part of the country you're in, there is some sort of a natural disaster or some sort of severe weather that can pop up any minute, no matter where you're at. You know, there's some sort of thing like that, and it's just a reminder to keep your eyes to the sky and, you know, watch what's going on around you, because it's always amazing to me how quickly it can change. And like you said, you know, once it's over, you think, oh my goodness, this horrible, horrible thing almost happened, but it didn't, and now we're fine. You know, it's just kind of an unsettling, like you've almost missed the accident kind of a feeling.
Right. You know, being a Florida girl and having really violent storms roll through every day in the summer, I was really uninspired by this storm. When I saw the trees coming, and I was thinking, wow, that would really stink if that tree broke, but chances are not likely that a tree that size will break, when, in fact, trees much larger than the tree that was leaning towards my camper were littered like matchsticks all over the campground. But I, you know, I guess, you know, that environment is not really hammered with high winds and big storms at all. This they were calling, like, you know, 100-year storm or something, and I was thinking, really, this is the best you got?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's another chapter in the Traveling Travaglino's book of events.
Exactly.
Well,
it brought to me the importance of being self-employed and being on your own schedule if you are going to embark on this lifestyle, because we didn't have to clear it with a boss that we were moving last night. We didn't have to make sure that we had Wi-Fi in the parking lot last night and, you know, get our duties done. We are obviously self-employed, and we work on very much our own schedule. So we had the flexibility to hook up the camper with no consideration of anything other than keeping our family safe. And if I thought about being responsible or beholden, if we worked a night shift, per se, and we were responsible to someone and having to explain the need to leave when, you know, obviously they're not experiencing the storm wherever in the world they are, it would just have added another layer of stress.
Right. That's a good point. That's a really good point. You know, I think we forget about that. It's funny you say that, because this week I'm on a totally different realm of work. I've been thinking all week, back where we're from, back in Indiana, they're going back to school tomorrow, and they're on what they call a balanced schedule. And whether you're a fan of that or not, you know, the fact remains that they're going back to school at the 1st of August, and I just think, good night, nurse, this is summer. This is still summer. There's so much summer left, and I'm so thankful that in this season of our life that we're homeschooling our kids and, our road schooling on the road. I love it. But I'm just so thankful that we are where we are. And like you're saying, I've just kind of felt that weight this week. We've had some things not come together for us, as you know, in our schedule. But we're kind of rolling with that. And then where I used to be, would have been really stressed out about it, like, oh my goodness, this isn't working out. I've really kind of started to take the attitude that you are where you're supposed to be. You've told me that a million times. And I totally believe that. I think that I'm right where God wants me to be at this exact moment, and so I'm great with that. And I'm just really thankful for, you know, being able to homeschool my own kids and, you know, show them things on the road that we want to learn about. And like you said, not having to answer to someone about where we are and when we're going to get there. It's just stress relief, so that's for sure. Thankful to be here.
Thankful to be here is right. And I have been preaching that to Laurel Hamilton, because Hamiltons are traveling with us, and for some reason we seem to be traveling under a dark cloud. You and I spoke earlier, but things like the air conditioner in the truck died and some trees, and we're driving 4 and 5 hours at a time. And then everywhere we go, the parks are not up to muster. We pulled here severely overheated, and I said, I don't care what happens. I don't care if we put the slides out or not. I'm jumping in the pool, only to find out that someone's pooped in the pool and it's now closed for the next 24 hours. It's just been an exhausting experience. But for whatever reason, I'm always where I need to be, and this is what I need to be doing right now. So be it.
So be it. It is what it is.
So what's your...
This week. Go ahead. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, Kimberly.
What does road school look like this week?
Our road school, we are, I guess because back home, you know, on all the social media, you see what your friends are doing kind of back home, wherever you're from or where you've been last. you know, everybody's kind of in the school mode, so that's kind of got me to thinking about a little bit more about what we're going to be doing this fall. So we have brushed up on some of our handwriting skills this week. I took a lesson from you from the last couple weeks and have gotten my kids to start writing some emails to some of our family back home. And I've just tried to kind of get back into the writing thing every day, because that's something we haven't really focused on too much this summer. We've kept up with our reading and some of the science things that we've kicked into gear in the summer, but we have just been concentrating on some short stories and some creative writing and some letter writing. And I realized this week that a couple of my kiddos didn't really understand how to address an envelope. And I, you know, I started thinking about all the things that when we were going to school are just so much different. You know, who really writes a letter anymore? I mean, people don't even pay their bills in the, you know, anymore through the mail. So it hadn't occurred to me that my kiddos didn't know how to address an envelope. So we've done that one day. We actually wrote letters and addressed the envelopes and talked about which way the stamp went on which corner. And it was just kind of a fun day that really didn't amount to anything. But we've just kind of done some life skills things this week, some things that are kind of old school, I guess you would say, and we've really enjoyed it.
That's really cool. You know, I don't believe that my kids know how to address an envelope, too, so that's definitely something I would like to explore with them. As we talked about in other shows, they do email, and I'm always on the fence about what skills they really need to know for this brave new world that we're part of and what we don't. But in our road school this week, we wrapped up our work camping adventure up at Timberwolf Resort in Hungry Horse, Montana, right there at the gates of West Glacier National Park, and finally pulled out. And that's why we're traveling through Washington right now. And that I wrote a blog post about the experience. It's called Confessions of a Work Camping Family, and you can find it right there on the front page of fulltimefamilies.com. And they go into a lot of detail about what we learned as a family about this experience and would we do it again. And it was a very cathartic blog post for me to write. I'm very happy I wrote it, even for my own benefit, so I can go back and read it the next time I decide to apply for a work camping position.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to read that. You know, we've had spotty internet while we've been traveling, so I haven't gotten to catch up on much, but I'll be very interested to read the Confessions of a Work Camper.
Yes, it came together as a really great post. I was really happy with it. So that's what we did, wrapped up, and my kids got to experience for the first time in a long time the end of a commitment. You know, we've been on 4 years. And they school perpetually because some days, like today, travel days, we don't school on travel days, but we do school on weekends and other days. And so we don't really take any time off during the summer, per se, or any time off for winter break. We just keep going, plugging on. And so this was really nice to just wrap something up and say, okay, my responsibility here is done.
So let me ask you that. When we've talked about this before, that both of us really don't take a big long break. We kind of school year round. Although all admittedly, we take summers off kind of in a way that we don't maybe cover all the subjects every week like we do at the rest of the school year. But so how do you do that, Kimberly? When do you push your kids forward for the next grade, so to speak? I know it's kind of hard for us when we're in this kind of situation in homeschool. Some people don't actually say, oh, they're in grade 4 or 5. You know, based on their age, but how do you do that? Do you feel like you do that in the fall of the year? Do you do that at the beginning of the year?
I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't think we do that at all. I think that we just let learning unfold in front of us, and I try to look for things that are more and more challenging for the kids. And so I have the opportunity to sit with them and teach them. The two older boys right now are very, very self-led. They have their responsibilities. They go about it. They get it done. They're motivated to get their studies done so that they can have the rest of the day for themselves. So we don't really have any kind of break or any kind of a mark that says, okay, now we've graduated to the next level. We just keep moving forward as life learners.
I love that. That's a great way to look at it. Well, you know, I always start out with a binder, and I think I did it the first couple of years, mostly because I was still in that public school kind of mentality and, you know, thought that in the fall that's when everything kind of kicked off. And but what I realized over this last year is that all of my kiddos' birthdays except for one are in the summerish, right there between May and August. So I feel like they all are another year older. And so what I've started doing is creating a binder for some of the work that they do and some of their writing and some of their artwork that I want to keep. But what I have done a couple years ago, I started doing a binder cover, and it has their name and some of the specifics of, you know, what their favorite colors are at that time or their favorite fruits. I really just kind of interview my kids.
Ooh.
And I write down their answers word for word based on what they say. And then I put that on their binder, so that's kind of like their little published document of where they are in their life at that time. And it's really been so fun. I just have been working on that this week. And, you know, looking back at the last 2 years, you know, the things that they wanted to accomplish and, you know, what they intend to learn about in the areas that they're interested in. It's just been really fun to look at that. And that's what I've been doing with them this week is creating those binders. And I actually have a template for that I'll post after the show tonight for anybody that wants one at roadtripteacher.com as a free printable. It's real simple. You just interview your kids and talk to them about what they'd like to learn and what their favorite foods and favorite colors and favorite books or, you know, whatever is important to them right now. It's just really fun to document that and have that as a memory, I think.
I love that idea. I absolutely love that idea. I think I'm going to go grab that printable after the show and do that with my kids this week and then report back next week about what I found out.
Awesome.
Very cool. So tonight's show is a part two of our Creating Your Location Independent Dream Job series. If you've missed part one, you can go to roadschoolmoms.com and find it in our list of shows. Every first Sunday of the month, we discuss this. And this is attributed to road school moms learning. You know, the learning that takes place in your camper isn't just your kids' responsibility. As homeschooling parents and as road schooling parents, it's our responsibility to continue to be life learners and to grow and learn new skills and strengthen our talents. And so what we're doing is providing you a series of exercises that you can use to create your own location-independent dream job. As you know, Mary Beth and I have our own location-independent dream jobs established, so we've brainstormed together and we've written down all the steps that got us to the place where we are, and we've also written down all the mistakes we've made along the way, and we're sharing this information with anyone who wants to either listen in or you can join our dream job list. And I will put the link to how to join that list in the chat in just a minute. But let's talk about what happens when you sign on for your location independent dream job. In step one, we talked about figuring out what your passion is. And so the first exercise of the program is figuring out your passion. And it's fairly easy to figure out your passion when you're sitting there writing a list of what you are potentially passionate about. Look at what you do in your day. What do you spend your time on when you finally have you time? And what is it you're gravitating towards? And that should give you a hint about what you're passionate about. Wouldn't you say that's true?
I would, and I would also encourage you, while you're trying to figure out what you're going to be passionate about or what you think that you're passionate about, is to really examine what you're good at and the things that you already know. Because I can tell you that, for me personally, that's one place that I made a mistake over the last, probably I'd say 3 to 5 years, when, because I've always worked for myself, but when we started traveling and we, you know, entered this lifestyle, it became, you know, a little bit more of a challenge because it had to be independent location. And in pursuing that dream, I branched off on all, you know, I kind of went on a few tangents. And they weren't as successful as the ones that I really pulled myself in and looked really, really, really deep and thought about what I was truly, me, personally, passionate about and what things I was good at. And the things that I was good at, that I enjoyed those things, because, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm good at that I really don't enjoy. So I just think that that's the biggest thing, is to find something that you really, truly enjoy and something that you're good at that you already know, because that's half the battle. That's really half the battle, because you've already made some mistakes that you've, you know, worked out on your own, and so you're, you know, kind of starting on second base instead of at home plate when you do it from that angle.
Absolutely, you're right. You know, that's a really good point that you bring up. There are plenty of things that we can be good at that we don't enjoy. And those people that gravitate towards starting a business based on just being good at something, in the long term, they find themselves trapped in this business that they've created, because really the bottom line is they don't enjoy it. And this series of exercises is set up to help you establish that difference, because not everyone, it's not apparent to everyone. Just because you're good at something, maybe if you get accolades for being good at that, you think that you're enjoying it. But in the long run, when your stomach starts hurting, the next time you have to do it, you start to realize, oh, I really don't enjoy this. And that's exactly what these exercises are geared towards helping you figure out.
Yep, that's a very, very good point. I think it's easy to become, especially as moms, you know, we have so many people dependent on us, and you know, for just the basic things. But it's kind of hard to see the forest for the trees sometimes. So it takes a lot of self-examination. It takes some clear head, you know, some nights that you really have to sit down with yourself and have a heart-to-heart and decide what it is that, you know, that you can enjoy doing for hours a day or hours a week, whatever it is. And really not feel like that it's work. Because I can tell you that for me, Road Trip Teacher is something that has, it came together for me over several years. It wasn't something that I just thought of overnight. It's definitely developed as we've traveled. It's evolved as our whole life has over the past couple of years. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it so much. And when I'm, you know, when I'm actually doing research or writing study guides or doing anything like that, I lose track of time. Because I really, really do enjoy it. And it comes from my love of writing. So that's another thing that I would encourage you to do is, you know, I don't want to say think outside the box. I think that's so cliche, but it is kind of true. You know, just, you know, think about the skills that you're good at and kind of let your mind be creative. And don't be afraid to, we talked about this before in one of our last shows also, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can still be good at something that maybe someone else is already doing, but put your own spin on it. You know, I just think it's really important to not let anyone take the wind out of your sails, and just, you know, just find your own truth, you know, what you're really looking for, and let God take it from there. See what happens. See where you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was a really great reminder for finding something you're passionate about, because I know you are very passionate about Road Trip Teacher, and that shines through, and that's why it's a success, it's the success that it is. So step two, and obviously when you're doing, this is us just glossing over it, when you're doing these exercises, you're going to need to set some time for yourself to just really do some soul searching. Step two takes you into actually the big step, claiming your spot on the internet, deciding how to get the best bang from your buck with your URL. And obviously, Road Trip Teacher is a great URL because it clearly explains what's happening. There's some education going on. There's a road trip involved. There's vacation time. There's sightseeing involved. It just indicates all that stuff. So you, when you're looking for a URL that you're going to register based on this business that you're creating, you want to make sure A, memorable, B, easy to write out. I've seen a lot of people add dashes and maybe Z's instead of S's for plural letters, and that's all well and good. It's very clever and cute, but if you want people be able to remember your URL after you've spoken to them or after someone else, you know, has found you and is now spreading the word about you, you want to make it as easy for them to remember as possible. So
that's a really good point, Kimberly. And I know you talk about in this exercise, in the second exercise, there's a whole section about keywords. And if you're not familiar with keywords, that's something you definitely want to read about in this exercise in the second set, because that is really important. And I read somewhere that when you're coming up with a URL, you know, three words is ideal. And if you can have three syllables in those words so that each word is just a syllable, then it's even better, because that's, you know, that's kind of a standard in people remembering. And what you said is so true about using a Z for an S, or, you know, trying to be clever in a, you know, in your URL is great if you're already some big brand name, which, you know I'm not, and I know you weren't, and a majority of our listeners probably aren't either. So it's really important to make that list of keywords and know what you're looking for when you're making that URL, because you want it to stick, and you want it to stick with your customers or the people that you're trying to reach, or even if they're just doing a random search. You know, that's really spelled out really well in exercise two.
Yes, and there's, thank you for that, and there's a video to watch. And do the work. I mean, this is you laying the foundation for your business. If you take the shortcuts now, by the time you've invested a lot of time, money, and effort into it, if you have not laid a good foundation for yourself, then you could be going down the wrong direction. So these exercises are broken down into little tidbits, chewable chunks. One of my favorite analogies, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. These little exercises are broken down into bite-sized pieces, but you must do the work in order to make a successful business for yourself. So moving on to exercise three is, I'm bringing it up, excuse me, because I remember what exercise four is, but off the top of my head, I do not. Oh, it's setting up your internet site. So a lot of people, when they're creating a blog or a website, will come onto the Full-Time Family Services group and say, what's the best platform for setting up a blog? And without a doubt, hands down, the best platform is WordPress self-hosted. Do you agree with that, Mary Beth?
I do, absolutely.
Right. And the reason why WordPress self-hosted is the best platform for creating a blog or a business or a blogabus or whatever you want to call it is because of the flexibility and versatility that a self-hosted WordPress site allows the end users to do. There's a million and one plugins, widgets, the customization options go on and on. So I know all of my web properties, of which we have about 25, are all built on WordPress self-hosted. And this is the first technical issue that newbies come across. They hear WordPress, and there are two options. So in exercise three, we go through the pros and cons of the two WordPress options. There's self-hosted and there's free WordPress. And you don't want the free WordPress, because that is not going to give you the range of flexibility that you need to create your business. So again, there's a video in that one, and you're going to want to watch how to set up your WordPress site. So we've already distilled your idea. You picked a great URL. And by exercise three, you're already starting to build your site, which is really great. You need momentum to keep going. How do you make sure that you have momentum in your business, Mary Beth?
Well, I think the first thing is that you have to have, and we talked about this in the very first show, you have to have someone you trust, whether this is a partner or a spouse or a best friend, or it doesn't have to be somebody that's physically in your life right then. If it's just somebody you can talk to on the phone or via email. But the first thing you have to do is you have to have somebody that you can bounce things off of. If you have more than one somebody with that, then that's even better. But, you know, every so often you need to check in with that person and bounce some ideas off of them. And, you know, you have to recharge. You know, don't get so bogged down in the details of what you're trying to do that you lose sight of, you know, how you're going to get there and enjoying that journey along the way. And the same is true with the website. You know, it takes a while to build, you know, an extensive WordPress site. The great thing about WordPress is that there's, you know, the basics are out there. There's tons of sites out there. You can buy sites, but there are also a lot of them that are free. And so it's really easy to start with a free one. You know, you can have that set up in just a few hours and then just take the time to build it, you know, let your creative be your guide and, you know, not get bogged down with the details. I think that's probably my biggest thing on how I keep my momentum is just not to try to, you know, eat the whole elephant, if we're going to talk about the elephant, is not to try to eat the whole elephant in one sitting, you know, and just enjoy the few bites that you're taking at that time and, you know, let it build.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, don't be scared to introduce your website version 1.1, even if you know that bigger and better things are in the back of your mind of how you want it to look. Maybe it's not absolutely perfect. Maybe that's not got all the content you need on it. Guess what? I have no doubt that there's an iPhone 7 sitting in a vault somewhere. You know, it's okay not to release everything you've got on your first go-round. Release what's comfortable. Do what you can do, and as you build your knowledge, as you build your skill, you'll be able, your website will reflect that. This is our actually third iteration of FullTimeFamilies.com, and as you know, we are currently having our website completely redesigned. The new website is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. But when I go back in my mind to what the first website looked like, it was a joke, but it was what I could do. And you know what? In the early years, content is king. And even if your design is not up to your standards, or you cannot, you know, get that design on the computer the way you like it, it's more important that you have ease of navigation and that you're solving people's problems. You know, they're going to be forgiving of your website design if they can easily get to the information they need over and over again.
That's a really good point. And it's also, you know, at the same time to remember what, you know, unless your business that your, you know, your dream job is website design, then don't focus too much on the design. I mean, clearly you don't want something that's hard to read or hard to navigate, like you said, but really the key to keeping your momentum is to stay focused on what you're there for and what it is that you're selling and what you're trying to do and the message that you want to get out to everyone. And that's going to be basically through how your communication and how you're conveying your message. And so that's what to focus on is conveying your message and building on the foundation of what you started for, and not to don't sweat the small details, because it'll all come together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And by the time that you've got it just the way you've got it, at that point you've already got hundreds of readers. So isn't it great to re-release your brand-new, beautiful, spiffed-up website to hundreds of readers rather than sit there and nitpick yourself and kill yourself to get it right for, what, your mother-in-law? So your mother-in-law and your cousin shows up at your website. Awesome.
This is true. Well, and, you know, when you were talking about plugins and this sort of thing, you know, it's really easy. I know it was for me. I know, Kimberly, you have, you know, your Chris is kind of in your background, has technical knowledge and helps you steer that boat. Barry, on my other half, is not that way at all. And so when I started, I was totally on my own with our website design. And the one thing that I'll tell you that scared me to death was just the terminology. When someone talked to me about WordPress and keywords and SEO and plugins, and I mean, I didn't understand what a plugin was. And so the first thing I can tell you is that if you are that new to all of this, and if some of the things that we're talking about you don't understand, literally Google the words, what is a plugin? What is WordPress? Or what is, you know, that, you know, Google will be your best friend in this instance. And that is the one thing that that's probably my biggest set of advice, is just to get out there and, you know, make sure that you understand the details of what you're trying to do. And if you don't understand it, you know, read about it until you do.
That's right. And, you know, Mary Beth, in the exercises, we give you we push you in the right direction, but a lot of times the exercises say, now, exactly like you just said, go Google what this means and go figure this part out for yourself. These exercises are also designed to stretch you so that you're assimilating the information along the way, not so that by the time you're done, you have a website that Road School Moms has pretty much built for you and just told you, here, put this here, put that there. This is you doing the work and you learning how to do the work. So I'm really excited about these exercises and how they work in coordination with people who are looking to build their own businesses online. Because like anything else, I'll tell you quite honestly, I'm a little worried about this beautiful new website that I will be unveiling shortly,
because I didn't build it. We paid someone to build it, and now I have to go back and figure out how to maintain it. So it's much easier for me to maintain something I built from scratch than to maintain something that someone else built and potentially break it. So say I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm sure when it's handed off, it will come with its own little training manual, and I'll be able to get it done. And as you mentioned, Chris is very good, but he did. He taught himself all of it himself. So all self-taught.
Well, and that's just the thing to also remember about this. Whether we're talking about something very simple or something very complicated, the information really is out there. It's at your fingertips. And it's just up to you, like you said, to do the work. And the whole reason that Casey and I started this the series was really to just share with our other Road School moms, really all, not to tell you how great that we are, because that's not it at all. It's really to show you, hey, look here at all the mistakes that we've made. So we don't want you to make the same mistakes. You know, learning from mistakes is good. We want you to learn from our mistakes. And we just want to try to give you the tools, and these exercises are part of those tools to help you get to where you need to be a little bit faster and maybe kind of bypass some of the crazy mistakes that we've made and show you some of the successes that we've had to help keep you on the right track.
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring up mistakes, and I should highlight that building one of our first sites on the free WordPress option was one of the major mistakes we made, because instead of, like, again, building from scratch and being able to maintain it, we had to either import it to the way we wanted or start all over again, and ultimately start it all over again. But that was one of the major mistakes we made, because we didn't know the difference between the two WordPress options, and that's why we highlight that in the exercises. Now, it's an obvious thing that if you are building your location-independent dream job, that you cannot do it in a vacuum, and social media will play a big role in the success of your business. And so before you even have anything, all your ducks in a row, we suggest with exercise number 4, making sure you stake your claim on all your social media properties. And what that means is you take your URL and you go register a Twitter account with the same idea. I think in our example, we use something like Chewini's Rule or something like that, or Chewini's are also not remember what we use. But let's just use Full-Time Families, for example. You go to Facebook and you establish a fan page for your business. You go to Twitter and establish a Twitter account. You go to Instagram and do that, and Google+. And so we have the top 7 social media sites in exercise 4 that you are going to want to establish and stake your claim on your name. Because if you don't do that and you are successful, don't be surprised if someone else does it. Not for you, but takes your name on a social media network. So you want to make sure that your ducks are all lined up in a row. And I want to add a special note about the potential of a group. There's a lot that is said about the Facebook algorithm and fan pages. And when we first started, we Full-Time Families only had a fan page. And it was a pretty popular little hangout, but there's not a lot of interaction on a fan page. A fan page is the company pushing information, we're having a sale, or we've got this new product, or whatever, and then a few of your fans interacting with that information. And I strongly urge, if you are in a problem-solving industry, if your business in some way solves a problem that your customers have, that you figure out how to create a group, right? We have the Road School Moms group on full-time on Facebook right there. We have, obviously, Full-Time Families group. Groups are where people, your customers or your fans or whatever, can interact amongst themselves and tell you exactly the problems that they need your business to fix for them. Do you find that to be true, Mary Beth?
I do. And, you know, any of you that are in our Road School Moms group, it's actually a closed group. There's two different ways you can have a group, and that'll be based on, you know, what kind of interaction that your people have in your group. But for us on the Road School Moms, it's actually a closed group because we wanted our moms that are out there to kind of have the anonymity with each other and not worry about maybe what their, you know, friends back home or friends where they're at or whatever was, you know, that they were saying that, you know, it was really kind of a tight-knit group that we can talk with each other and bounce things off and kind of research and you know, see what each other does. And that's, you know, that's a great, great, great asset that we have here at Road School Moms, to talk with other moms just like ourselves. So your groups on social media, Facebook especially, is really a big asset to your business.
Absolutely. Like, I'm going through our Road School Moms book group right now, and if you want to be a part of that group, you can very easily go to facebook.com/groups/Road School Moms. And I see one member say, anyone in Florida uses KP's address as a domicile for things such as driver's license, renewal, license plates, insurance, voter registration, and so forth. Experience and comments appreciated. And so our group is very helpful to this poster in that anyone in our group can now answer that question. And so if Mary Beth and I don't have the information, that's okay. We don't, we're not the experts, but we can learn right along with the poster, and we can learn from other people in our group. And it's also a great place for us to reach out and say, hey, Road School Moms, what are issues that you're finding you're struggling with? And we can then, you know, construct our shows around those issues so that we're actually making inroads for our listeners. Without a group, it's really hard to get that kind of interaction.
And the other thing I can tell you is that social media and the things that were popular a year ago are not exactly how they work today. It's ever-changing. And so, you know, even though we gave you this great exercise that has all the steps on how to establish your Twitter account and how to create your Pinterest account or your Facebook account and YouTube channel and all of those great things, you know, it really is up to you to keep up with what's going on because it changes all the time, and you really have to keep up on what's going on to keep the word out there about what you're doing. So knowledge is power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that brings you through exercise 1, 2, 3, and 4. Every week we publish at least one new exercise. Sometimes on that list we also publish motivational items, just little snippets for you to read and keep you going with your momentum. Earlier we talked about how Mary Beth keeps her momentum. I have learned, and it's just this week, and I think it's from some 1950s book that I was reading, I love to read old books about household and family management. That's one of my favorite things to do. But it's fun of me because while I'm reading these books, my household is falling apart around me. But I figure I need to invest the time in reading these books anyway. I really just love those back-to-basics household management books. So I was reading one, and it said, the night before, every night before, while it's fresh in your mind, you should make a list of the things you want to accomplish the next day. And so I've been making a list of between 2 and 5 things that I want to accomplish the next day, and I have been keeping myself to that list. As anyone who has ever been self-employed knows, the work never ends. And what I found was I would get something done and immediately start working on the next thing and immediately start working on the next thing, and I would never feel that satisfaction for having checked something off. But by having these between two and five, depending on what my day looks like, things that I need to accomplish on my list and checking them off, then I know when I'm finally done working. So that's what I've been working on, and that's been bringing a lot more peace into my household because I can say to my kids, Mommy is not available between this hour because she's going to be doing this project. But this project should take about 15, 20 minutes, and then I will be available to you because I will be done working. Do you find that you have a problem being done working, Mary Beth?
I do, and I will tell you that I do it for a little bit different reason than you. But what I find myself doing when I finally get to the end of my day, and admittedly that's usually at 3 o'clock in the morning because that's the time that I just finally wind down. I'm a night owl that way anyway. But I lay there and I can't sleep because I have all these things going through my mind, you know, and I want to do this, I want to do that. And what I found is if I just write those things down, not even necessarily I'm going to do them tomorrow, but I'm maybe something I want to do next year. But if I write those thoughts down, then I feel like I can forget about it and let it go, and I've written it down and that I won't forget. And the other thing that I do, I take that same list a little bit like you do when I have to cross things off my list. I mean, I have to really feel like it's accomplished. As a matter of fact, sometimes I get up And if I've already done something, I still put it on my list just so I can cross it off because I have to feel accomplishment. So that's kind of how I do that.
Yes. You know, crossing things off, we have talked about this because you created a bunch of copy work, and we've talked about the connection between physically writing something, handwriting, and your mental perspective. And crossing things off is very satisfying. So making that list, like you said, getting things out of your head helps to clear that fog of, oh, my gosh, I have a million and one things to do. Whether you're running your own business or just running a couple errands, having a list and crossing it off. I forgot to mention that the book specifically said that you should be making this list the night before because, as I'm sure you can recognize, when you wake up in the morning fresh and anewed, all of a sudden, those things that were a priority last night are completely scattered to the wind in your mind, and you can't remember what it was that you wanted to do. So making the list in the morning is not as good an idea as it is making it at night. It's much more effective to make it right before you go to sleep at night.
Yep, I agree with that. That's when my mind is very crazy busy. I'm not a morning person. We all know that. But nighttime is the best for me, that's for sure.
Absolutely. In our Confessions of a Work Camping Family, I talked about how we had to report to work at 10 a.m. and what a struggle that was.
You know, I feel guilty about that sometimes. I do because I worry about that a little. I'm like, am I teaching my kids not to be on the schedule? I mean, I love that about our lifestyle, but, you know, sometimes I do worry about that. And you're right. When Saturday morning, we had to be up and gone by 8 o'clock. And, whew, I'm going to tell you, that was struggle doesn't quite fit it. Let me just tell you.
Right. You know, I also worry about that also. But as far as I'm concerned, Chris and I really do work the night shift. We have dedicated the majority of our day to the kids and their activities and being with them. And so once we put them to sleep around 9 o'clock, that's when our money-making work begins. And we don't go to sleep till 2, 3 o'clock at night. What's more important, that they have a schedule or that they have us? And I'm going to go with us.
Well, that's very true. And that's one thing that, just to touch a little bit on this, when you're thinking about your dream job, and it's so easy to get caught up in what you're doing and to sit at the computer and, you know, Google things for hours and look at Facebook and see what's working on Instagram or whatever. But just don't forget, don't forget why you're doing what you're doing. And you know, so many of us are doing we're doing this because we want to spend more time with our family and we want to be a part of our kids' day and, you know, with our road school life and all of that. So don't forget why you're where you are and get so stressed out and put so much time and energy in, you know, the details and you forget about the journey because we all know that it's the journey that matters, not the destination.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So that wraps up the first four exercises in our dream job. And if you're not on the list, when you're listening to this, you can go to the original post of this podcast called Creating Your Location Independent Dream Job Part 2. And there will be a link to that list to get the exercises. Also, if you haven't heard Part 1 before, that's also at roadschoolmoms.com. So what's your week looking like, Mary Beth?
Well, we are traveling slowly but surely. So I'm not for sure really where we're going to be by the end of the week. It'll be real interesting to see where we come to you live at next week. But we are just, you know, moving along. I have to say this before we talk about this real quickly, that I'm so excited. This is our 23rd episode.
Oh, my God.
Of Road School Moms, yeah. And so next week is our very, very last Road School Moms of our second season, and we will kick off the very next week. There won't be any Road School Moms missed because the very next week we're going to kick off season 3 of Road School Moms, and I'm really excited about that. So,
I am, too. I'm looking at our calendar, which you can always see what shows are coming up by going to roadschoolmoms.com or on the Ultimate Radio UltimateRadioShow.com, there's a show calendar, and you can see all the shows that this network hosts. But on our calendar next week, we have Dads and Daughters, an evening with Dear Lily author Peter Grayson, who MB and I met at the Road School Convention. We're really excited to talk to him about a father's influence in a road schooling daughter's life. And on the 17th, kicking off our newest season, is Inspired Living for Homemakers with Stephanie, who is creator of Keeper of the Home. It's very exciting. And then August 24th, I'm super thrilled for this because I love to say the word laying the foundation. My book, How to Get a Road, is all about laying the foundation for a successful full-time RV adventure. And this dream job initiative that we are embarking on is about laying the foundation. But I think that although I overuse the heck out of those words, I think that when you do something thoughtfully and you do build on a foundation, that your chances for success are that much greater. And so I strongly believe in laying foundations. And on August 24th, we will be providing tools to help you lay the foundation for a great road school year. And some of those tools include some really great surprises, which MB and I have been working on furiously for you all week. This is a one-of-a-kind kind of thing, so you definitely want to be tuned in on August 24th when we share these tools with you. You know, there's a lot to be said about homeschoolers and the tools that they have, and road schoolers are very much part of homeschoolers, but we also have a need for some more specific tools that currently don't exist. So, MB and I have been working very hard to create them for you. Really excited about that. And then back to August 31st, just us moms, we're going to be talking with some other road school moms about how overcoming reluctant readers in your rig. We're going to be talking about all the tips that have worked. I know I have, I had reluctant readers in my rig, and I know Mary Beth has some reluctant readers, and so we're going to be polling on our Road School Moms Facebook group if you have a reluctant reader or had a reluctant reader that has overcome their reluctance about reading. Then we want to be talking to you live on the air on August 31st. So we'll be putting out a feeler for that later this week, and you can go ahead and reply. This week we're also wrapping up the fourth week of the FTF Summer Scavenger Hunt powered by Lazy Days, the RV Authority. Oh, my goodness, Mary Beth, have you seen the pictures on that group?
I have. It's exhausting. Looking at all the crazy things everyone is doing, I'm having such a good time. It's actually part of our whole it's kind of become part of our routine. I'm going to be sad to see it end. Our family loves to gather around the computer at night and see all the friends that we've made at other FTF events and how they're participating in the scavenger hunt. It is a blast, and it's been so fun.
These players are second to none. I had no idea the amount of energy that they would come up with. In fact, they exhausted my original third week list. My third week list I had to throw out and start from scratch because it was too easy for these players. They're amazing. One of the things is to be handcuffed to an actual police officer in uniform. And I think almost like 100% of the players have the picture. It's incredible. I don't know if walk up to a police officer and ask to be handcuffed for a scavenger hunt. But I'm so happy to see these families stretching themselves. And another funny thing came up. Someone asked in the middle of week three, hey, Kimberly Trappagino, what is it we get at the end of this 4 weeks? What is it we're working to win? And I thought, wow, that really speaks the families enjoying their time together. If they don't even know what they're playing for, is it just, big pat on the back? Is it bragging rights? And really, the reality of it is one grand prize winner will get $250 cash sponsored by Lazy Days, the RV Authority. The second prize winner will get a $100 gift certificate from Oil Can Henry's. And four third prize winners will receive their own Explorer pack from my dear friend, Mary Beth, the Road Trip Teacher. So, did you see that comment there, Mary Beth?
About got it done?
About what it is they won.
No, I didn't see that, actually. Sorry. I thought you were talking about our chat window. No, I didn't. But that just goes to show you, first of all, we're all must be a little bit competitive by nature, because I think everybody just set out to make sure they got everything on the list done. You know, and how cool is that? But I'll just have to say that the $250 will be awesome for the winner, but my goodness, the great collection of memories that every single family has made participating in the scavenger hunt, and even those of us that are just watching, I think is the real prize.
And, you know, it's funny you say that because in the midst of last week's talk on the Facebook group, and you can go see this anytime, whenever you're listening in, these pictures will still be out there. It's the FDF Summer Scavenger Hunt Facebook group. It's an open group. Or you can go into Facebook and just put hashtag Lazy Days RV Hunt, all one word, and all the pictures will come up right there in your Facebook window. Someone brought up the idea of making a photo book for yourself, a Shutterfly photo book for these 4 weeks of vacation with your family, and I thought that was a great idea.
That's an awesome idea. That's a great idea, actually.
So I thought next year what we would do is we would work with someone like Snapfish or Shutterfly and make sure to get everyone free promo codes to make their own books.
I think we should have a full-time family yearbook. You know, I keep saying that out loud because I want to do it. We should do that.
I want you to do it. That'd be awesome.
I'll put that on my list of things to do that I'm going to write down tonight before I go to sleep.
That sounds good. That sounds good to me. Okay, well, that's an hour. Like you said on our chat, an hour has flown by. We hope that you find everything we share with you on Road School Moms helpful. If we can be of any further assistance, please don't hesitate to go onto our Facebook group, Road School Moms Facebook group, and tell us what it is you want us to talk about and what problems we can help you solve. If you do enjoy the program, we ask that you would please go to iTunes and give us a rating. I love all five stars, but you rate us whatever you believe is we're deserving of, and we'd love to hear more from you. So I'm always available at Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and I know Mary Beth's always available at info@roadtripteacher.com. So please, send us your ideas, advice, suggestions, whatever you got.
That's right, and don't forget, when you give us a review to iTunes.com, all you have to do is shoot me an email at info@roadtripteacher.com, and I'll be glad to give you a study guide for doing that. We want to know what you're thinking and what your thoughts are about our podcast.
Absolutely. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and until next week, safe travels. This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.
The moderator has left the conference.